Arts, the Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour. Come on out to a show. We got Tucson on Friday at the Rialto, October 3rd. Tickets still available. Paramount in Denver, October 4th, might be sold out. If there are tickets, there are a few left. Again, dansoder.com. And then the South, we're coming to get you. Knoxville, Atlanta, Louisville. I said that correctly. Louisville. Knoxville, Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, and Louisville, Kentucky are going to be October 9th, 10th, and 11th. DanSoder.com for tickets. Go to DanSoder slash tour for all dates, all tickets. Buy the tickets through my website. Don't go to Google. Please don't go to Google. This is how secondhand resellers get you. Just go to DanSoder.com. And right there on that ticket link, we'll send you there, and we're going to see you. These shows are going to be fun as hell. I'm bringing a lot of fun people. Sagalow's going to be on a lot. I'm bringing Matt Ross, a couple surprise openers that are fun that I'm very excited to bring along. DanSoder.com/tour, Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour. Oh, also, merch. Might be selling some merch. We're talking about it. It's pretty cool. Might get a hoodie or a t-shirt for you. That's cool. What I love about the Commanders specifically is that you genuinely had a head vampire situation where you killed the head vampire and then everything, you know, when like in movies where the light returns to the forest and all the darkness goes away, Snyder selling that team, the entire NFL was like, well, let's see Washington win now. Everyone was ready for that.
Yes, he was terrible.
And when you guys got Jaden Daniels, who I love, and then you guys just got a team where the NFC East is filled with a lot of like bad guys. Cowboys, the Eagles are getting cocky. I love you guys. I think Commanders,
Eagles is Doc Vader, man.
Yeah, they are. Well, the way they're built.
Doc Vader.
Through like 2028. Doc and I'm a 49er fan, so when we got, when Purdy broke his arm.
It's going to take us 3 years to beat the Eagles.
Yeah.
It's going at least 3 years.
Or a major injury on their end.
Oh, yeah. Either or.
Either or.
Either or.
If just, Saquon or Jalen goes down.
They just, the foundation is so strong.
When did you move to L.A.?
2000.
So is it being a East Coast, a fan, because I'm going through the opposite. I'm on the East Coast, but I love the Niners.
Yeah.
You go through these pains of like hoping they come to your town. But do you do the road where you go?
I when the schedule breaks, then I like, I can go to this game, I can go to this game, I can go to this game. But I don't rearrange my schedule for them. I ain't got that kind of money.
I know. That's where you get crazy. Saying?
I would never.
It's got to match up.
Oh, yeah.
If it doesn't match up, you're like, well, then.
Can't lose money to watch them make money. That's the rule.
That's the way to say that, because I spent so much when I first, I saw Bill Burr do that the first time of being like, yeah.
You good with Bill?
I know him, but like I'm a huge fan, just like a big fan of yours. But coming up watching comedy, especially being a younger comic, I remember listening to Burr be like, yeah, I plan my schedule around games, and I was like, the thought of that to me was like, and then I tried doing it too young, headlining, and it ended up costing me money. Where cost I was like, money. This is stupid.
It would I predict in another 2 years, then that'll be, I'll be able to just like, I'll let you know what my fall schedule is gonna be.
That's pretty great.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'll let you know.
You know what? That's kind of like, that's the hope young comics should get. Is that you go, you can control, as I remember when I was a waiter, right? One of the best parts about being a senior waiter was you would get to control your schedule.
Right.
And I feel like that's like being a senior comic. When you get, when you put enough time in the business, you go, I'm going to let you know when I'm going to be there.
Well, it's certain caveats that, you know, benefits. It's like, I will always say, it's like American Express. Certain levels in our thing, membership has its privileges, and you become a demand headliner that you can say, "I'm waiting to the NFL schedule."
And you know when you'll get my schedule is when they announce where the Commanders are this fall.
Okay, I would do Tampa in September the 15th.
You go, oh, it looks like they got the Bucks.
See you down there. I'll see you down there. You know what I mean?
That's that's what I'm going to strive for. So I can go, where are the Niners at? Indianapolis?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll do my town. Get on your agent. Look.
Yeah. Okay.
Take the
schedule. Or just forward them the schedule.
Forward the schedule.
Match it up.
And match it up.
Yeah. Looks like like I'm doing the Bay eight times.
What, you can't do this? I think I'm about to leave.
What's CAA up there?
Yeah, let me see what Weir Morrison is.
I mean, that is one of the things where you go like,
this, I made it.
This, that's it. Like, yeah, you go, I made it. There's no
I made it.
There, you can have all the cars, all the money or whatever, but when you go like, oh, I can go to all these games.
Yeah.
That was like in my head a thing that I would be like, if I could grow up to even go to 2 49er games a season.
Right.
And now I'm like, I could probably go to like four right. or five.
Right.
And sit in nice seats.
Right.
That was like the best part to me.
Right.
Being a sports fan is you just want to make your life outside of sports catch up to where you can go watch the teams you
want
to see.
Yeah, you want that accessibility.
Yeah.
Of, you know, hit the field.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I got spoiled. Like I told you, my buddy Mike is the head coach for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
But he was bouncing around the NFL. And then when I got the call that he was going to San Francisco, I was like,
look at God.
He's like, do you need stuff? I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything. One everything in XL.
I'm trying to track down Magic Johnson. We're friends, but I just can't. You know, Magic went from millionaire to billionaire.
Is that a different phone number?
Yeah. It's a different.
You don't get a call back away. Yeah. That billions.
When he had just the theaters and the Starbucks. I can get he'll pick it up.
You can get tickets to Rush Hour 2 for free.
Yeah. He'll pick up the phone.
But you think if you got a hold of him now, what would you want?
You know, he's part owner to let him know accessibility.
Wait, part owner of the Dodgers, right?
No, he's part owner of the Commanders.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
I didn't know
yes,
that.
Yes, he's a part owner.
Yeah, Magic, pick up.
Yeah.
If Earthquake is calling you, up.
No, I ran into him and 6 months, 8 months and told him. And he's like, I got you. Gave me a number and I ain't got him since. That motherfucker reads like a suicide hotline.
He's gonna have one of those numbers that girls give out at bars where you call and you
something.
Go, you've been tricked.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've been knowing Magic so long. Yeah. I mean, I've been knowing him since the Lakers.
That is insane.
And when he bought in into the cat, I was like, I gotta get in touch with him. And I seen him, and we talked and rapped and said, take the number and. I haven't yet been able to track
how many times do you press that number? Once, twice?
I give you. It's certain people don't call you back. Like Kevin don't call me back. Dave Chappelle calls me back.
He does.
Yeah, Dr. Dre calls me back.
That already two great ones.
Yes, but
what a cool list of people to call you back.
Yeah, I call down. Dre will call me. Me and Dre, Dave.
Yeah.
You got to hit Dave on time.
Is Chappelle one of those guys where if he calls you, you're in like, you know, those friends when they call you, you go, I'm going to be in a conversation?
No, Dave is one of the most sincere people in the world.
Yeah.
But everybody pulls him. So you have to understand, it's only 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
And he has multiple people such as me in his life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I have grace even for Kev and the rest of them. But. You know,
I mean,
the
special he produced years was fantastic.
Yes,
and
yes.
Started that whole series he did off with like being like, oh, this is fucking great.
Yeah,
everyone I know, New York comics, we were like, did you see the Earth? Immediately, a seller, everyone's like, did you see Earthquake set? Just being like, fantastic.
Well, thank you.
Because I do feel like there is the idea of the special isn't what it was because it's just you're able to release it now.
Right.
It's kind of like what SoundCloud did to like rap. Where you're like, well, now an album isn't as important because your people are just putting shit out
right.
all the time. So when you see a good special now, I think it means more.
Well, I think, you know, you're a comic, so you understand some of us stick with the job description of it is. It's comedy special.
Yeah.
And your words have meaning.
Yeah, and you want to take a couple of years to work on it.
Well, whatever way, you just want to make sure whatever your process is that is ready.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately, with the new one I got right now, the only thing bad about it is, you know how I being a comic, I had a respiratory infection, so I had to pull through at the same time while I was getting it done. But you know how it is. And, you know, my son was like, who was this reschedule? I said, well, you got the production money to get this all together.
When people find out how much specials cost, they go, holy shit.
And you ain't got no time. And it's something we all do. We... You know, I try to explain on my radio show that, you know, there's a lot of times comedians We didn't got the deposit. That money is already accounted for.
It's gone.
Ain't no sense in talking about let's reschedule.
Yeah, you can't get that back.
I can't get that January 15th date back.
Explaining to my friends that don't work in the entertainment business, like what it costs to actually, like the difference between touring in a comedy club versus a theater and how there's money that you have to pay, that I'm renting the microphone.
Right.
I'm renting the fucking stool.
Right.
I'm renting the lights.
You're hiring the director, the camera.
The people that are taking the tickets.
And they not coming back next week for the same money that you gave before.
No. So no. If you reschedule, you are going to take such a hit.
Oh, a hit.
And that is the thing where you go, you don't think I would love to be at my best health?
Yes.
Dude, me and Mike shot our last thing that I put up on YouTube at a comedy club, and I was at a comedy club,
right.
And I got COVID, and I was like, I'm gonna have to fight through it.
Got to fight through.
I mean, I was over it by the time we filmed it, but I was still sick. I wasn't like clocking positive, but I was still breathing weird. And you're like, we got to do these three shows.
We got to do it
because it's set up. He brought the camera out. He hired the people to film it.
That's why I call it, it's my flu game, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It's my flu game.
But don't you feel like you do a better job in that situation? Because you almost can't think about anything but that.
Well, it's bad when your voice is gone. You know how your voice cracks? You can't get the reflection that you want.
Oh, man. If you go high, you hurt your head.
Hurt your head and you can't in it.
Yeah.
But it's just like, with no disrespect to a woman, you just sit back and relax and take it like it. Take it to the face.
You understand?
Just put it on your tits and let's get out of here. Let's get on out of here. I ain't going to help you back. Just put it in.
I'm hurting. You do all the work.
Go ahead. You do all the work. So you want me to turn over, put my leg up? Give me a minute.
I can't do that. I'm not bulldogging you tonight.
I got to lay here. You got to get it.
What's funny is after we filmed one in one night and then we filmed two the second night, and after the first one, I felt so good about it that I feel my body was like, good, and then the next night it was the,
exactly. You know,
sounded like Steve-O hitting jokes, being like, my parents, and you're like, I'm fucked up. I can't be doing this.
Right, but the drilling of it and the understanding and the opportunity, very few people in our career, in our profession, I'm sorry, has the clout to say,
yeah,
I see y'all in 2 weeks. I'm not feeling good.
You know who did that prior at Live at Sunset Strip?
Yeah.
But that was like the last guy to do that. You know what I mean?
He bombed on that when he said, I see y'all back.
I'm going to come back. Hire them again. We're going to reshoot this shit.
But he was already prior.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Yes. He had the clout to go.
He had the clout.
We're going to fucking redo
this. I think we got a couple people. Dave could do it.
Dave absolutely could do it.
Chris could do it.
Seinfeld could do it. Louis could do it. Burr could do it. I'm trying to think who else has that kind of power.
Yeah.
Gaffigan, I feel like, could do that.
Shane's
up there now. Shane could probably do it. But you're right, to shut down a whole production or something.
And then sit back there and renegotiate. Well, what I mean by, of course you can do it. These are the people I feel that can do it. And don't have to take on the financial responsibility.
They don't sweat about it.
Not only sweat about it, the network that the distributor doing it would eat it just for the relationship of it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not there in my career. Had I been Dave,
I mean,
you know, they were like, don't worry about it.
I feel like Dave could shut down a whole production and they would like enjoy it. He could go like,
you know what I mean?
I don't feel like doing this. I'm going to take a nap. And they'd go, we're going to watch you take a nap.
We're going to watch
I'm bleeding out of my ear, and they're like, the show's on in five
and
minutes.
That's another achievement, like
the sports thing.
The sports thing. That's another degree of
what
where
you
want
after
be.
Money, fame? You go, I want to shut down productions.
I want a baby to walk in that motherfucker and say, not today.
And go, I don't like the wind. The wind is blowing weird.
Yes, the true story.
Yeah, it is funny because you know what's even funnier is the longer you're in comedy and you do watch someone, you know, like people that you know raise up to these levels that you've never seen anybody go to, watching the like people, like the networks and stuff, the way they go, like,
yes,
they're just
But see, that started with me in the business when only reason why I wanted to be a headliner because they had to come to the club early.
You
had to be there when you're the opening. You had to be in there with the waitress and shit. And then this motherfucker just walked in here.
You're rolling silverware said, with the waitstaff.
How he come? Well, he the headliner. Well, how you become that?
I remember the first club I started at, I wasn't allowed to sit in the green room. It was a small green room. I wasn't allowed, as the MC, sit in the green room. And then the feature wasn't allowed to sit in the green room. And you're right. Like, all right, so being a headliner means I give a little small room where I can hang out.
Right.
And that's why that's important. You're right. You like
so you want
small...
those perks.
Yeah.
That perks. And I'm there with the waitress and ain't no crowd here. And I'm sitting in the corner.
Yeah.
And then this motherfucker just walked in like 15, 20 minutes before he go on stage. And I'm like, hey, man, why he?
They already got him a drink.
Yeah,
they
got him a drink.
He's ready to go.
He don't have no drink ticket. Everybody sitting there kissing
not,
his ass.
They're not
so
marking it down.
Yeah, they ain't marking it down.
When
ain't
you get
nothing.
A beer and they go, all right, that's one.
That's one.
You get one.
Oh, no,
more.
They give you the ticket.
Yeah, dude.
They give you a little ticket.
I came up in New York doing bar shows where it was like the second someone handed me money, I was like, this is incredible.
Right.
I'm used to getting to admit one movie ticket to go get a
exactly.
Cheap
beer. That's the one that
and
admit
you go,
one.
And you got a tip on that, and so now I'm losing money.
Not only that, a beer with the mint one is a beer, but if you want a strong drink, you need both your tickets.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Holy shit, I haven't thought about that in a while. Where you go, rum and Coke.
Rum and Coke. I need both of them tickets. You couldn't get one. That's just for, that's just Bobby.
Dude, that is, it's so funny because you're right. We're talking about all these big steps of like rearranging your schedule and stopping production, but you don't realize that the most important part is when you're young, getting that like, can I get two drink tickets?
Yes.
And then you're like, oh, my God, I can go later in the show.
Yes.
I can do all that. I mean, you've been, you know, I think you've affected definitely my generation, the generation before me and the generation after me. Are there people that come up to you and go like, I'm a huge fan of you that blows your mind, that you're like, I never thought you would be a fan?
It's always humbling with anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially people that shoot. Like, Dr. Dre, I'm a fan of yours.
Oh, crazy.
Different people that you're a fan of.
Yeah.
And different people that you knew them.
Yeah.
They didn't know you.
Yeah.
And now they know you.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's very humbling.
Did you ever have one like a Martha Stewart or someone where you were like, what the fuck? You're like.
Yeah, I had a couple.
Like, just out of right field?
Yeah, out of fucking right field.
Because, I mean.
I had pastors.
That's fun.
You know what I mean?
That's fun.
Yeah,
because there's something about outside of the actual description of the job.
Right.
But a pastor, you don't understand, they have crowd control better than any comedian.
True.
Like the way that people listen to them
mm-hmm.
is like if they say you're doing a good job, you're like, oh damn.
Damn, yeah. And you're moving them, and they said it's they telling you that you're also doing God's work through laughter.
Yeah.
And to acknowledge our genre and put it on the same level as a man of God is the most humbling thing.
But that is from a black pastor, unbelievable. A white pastor, you go. If it's like a Joel Osteen, you go.
Yeah, you bastard.
just a white pastor with big white teeth going, and what you do for the Lord? And you go, I don't believe any of this shit right now.
None of this shit right now.
If I had an old black pastor tell me good job, I'd be like, this is odd.
Right.
I knew I was feeling myself on stage, but I didn't know I was doing that good.
Right.
But a white pastor, you go, what devilish intentions do you think I have?
You're a Christian national.
Yeah, they go, I think you're doing a fantastic job. When I was at SiriusXM, when I was doing the Bonfire, I tell the story, but it's true. Joel Osteen came through the lobby.
Yeah.
When I was walking in to do the show, and I've never seen someone with more heavy artillery around them.
Yeah.
In that building. I'm talking about rappers, movie stars, politicians. I've never seen someone with, he just had like a circle of people that got into a bulletproof SUV. And you're
dude,
the energy was wild. And to the point where you're like, that man is worth $1 billion.
No, but see, it reminded me of one of my jokes before. I said, I always had a problem with religious leaders, but I wrote it for the Pope. I said, the Pope is in a bulletproof limo.
Dude, I mean, I'm obsessed. That's your Comedy
where's
Central
your
Presents.
Face?
Yeah, where he goes, he coming out there tossing out pieces.
Yeah. I said, where's your faith?
Dude, that's
if
crazy.
God's so good, why are you trying to delay your day to meet him?
I was, as someone that... I used to come home. Comedy Central Presents was so important for my generation.
Right.
Because I was just like a teenage pothead, and I would come home and put on Comedy Central, and then I would see like Dave Attell's or yours.
Yeah.
I used to think that was... That hit me in a way when I watched that the first time that I was like, that's the funniest shit in the world. Exactly. And so then whenever it would be hot at night, I'd be like, they got a different sundown.
They got a different
when I was living in like Tucson and shit.
Yeah, Tucson.
But that is like, you see those pastors and you're like, why do you got bulletproof? Don't you have trust?
No, where's God?
Shouldn't you be shaking hands?
You say you talk to God every day. He don't tell you who the assassin is?
You don't think he's going to move the bullet a little bit?
Not only that, he don't go there, my son. Yeah. There's nothing that he put in the universe. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No, I don't think I want to go there at that point.
Jesus didn't have his apostles, and he goes, I need all of you heavily armed.
Yes.
And I need you to walk around.
You know what I mean? Where's your faith?
Yeah, that's what I felt when he walked through the lobby. I was always like, yeah. Well, that doesn't seem Christ-like.
No,
that
not at all. Like, if you say you talk to him, and if heaven's so beautiful,
yeah,
it's the best.
Then put me there.
Why are you delaying your day? you get what I'm saying?
I would tell my security squad, I go, you guys got the day off.
If I had that, which I have my connection with my Lord and Savior, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But the direct, what you say, because you're a man of God, and you say you talk to him all the time, and you're anointed with the Spirit.
If I know that you got his phone number, I think he's going to call you.
Yeah.
He's going to call you back.
He call you back. You talk to him regularly.
Yeah.
You understand?
He's not the owner of the commander. He is the commander.
He is the commander.
So he's going to have to get a hold of
you. You talk to him every day, but you don't believe he's going to tell you
such a good point.
That this devil
is going to...
You, out of anybody, should be walking in the line.
We're not going to Tulsa.
Yeah, you're going, listen,
hey,
ain't no problem.
And I do want to go see him, but I don't want to go see him right now. And he told me it's a little hot right now.
See, I'm starting to wonder.
That is so funny, especially if you're a preacher. You could probably mess with the people around you by going, Lord told me it's probably not a good idea.
See, you don't have faith, but you tell me, hold on with it.
Yeah.
It's coming. Put your last in this basket and everything else, and you will be blessed.
Yeah.
Because I talked to the Lord.
Yeah, you go, I'm telling you.
But he didn't tell you where that sniper was at.
He didn't let you know that it was up there in the fucking...
He didn't tell you it right there.
He didn't even give you a heads up.
He ain't tell you
that would make me think God hated me if he didn't give me a heads up.
Well, that would let me know. I don't know if you talk to the same Lord.
God goes, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why'd you go ahead?
Oh, God said, come on up here. I need to see you in the office today.
That was the thing I think that soured me on Osteen was there was that flood in Houston. And people didn't have anywhere to go, and he wouldn't open his church up.
Oh, I heard he said, look here, don't come this Sunday. He said, yeah, I ain't want to come last Sunday, don't make this Sunday.
That reminds me of like when your grandma wants you to come visit, but she doesn't want you to go in the living room.
Yeah.
Where you go, I thought you were just so excited to see me. Why can't I go in this room?
Just this little section right here. I want to visit you under these terms.
Dude, when my grandma passed away, taking the plastic off some of that furniture was wild. Just as a science experiment. I'd be like, this couch hasn't breathed air since 1975. And then you took it off and you watched it like
expand.
You watched it go like... I was just taking stuff off being like, damn, this couch has never felt, just rubbing it. Because we were like going to donate it. And you're like, well, look at this shit.
Yeah, it was total.
Going in the room, checking she's dead to make sure to be like, I'm in the room.
Right.
Yeah, it was wild, man. My grandma was, she died at 97 and she had like held on to everything. So we were going through like decades of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Finding out that like she held on to like birthday cards that me and my cousins gave her when we were like six.
Dang them.
And then you have to decide what you're going to keep.
Yeah.
Because the house got foreclosed on, so we were like, we got to get everything
we can.
We got
to get it out of there.
And then you're like looking at it and you go, this is nice birthday cards, but...
But who's going to keep it?
Exactly.
I barely have room for my own.
That's the part that no one talks about when you're cleaning out a house and someone dies is you go, it is sentimental, but you go, I just don't have the room for this.
I can't go back in there. We just got to donate it. Let them take it off.
I left stuff that I was like, I just don't even want to go through with it.
Yeah.
And when I found out it got cleaned out, I was like, thank God. I just didn't want to. You just don't. Because I think when you're young, you're like, we'll divvy it up and we'll have this thing. And then me and my cousin were like, let's get the fuck out of here.
Y'all didn't have nobody. We have everybody in my family. We got one family member. That he going over there to scavenge.
I'm not going to give names because I don't think she watches the podcast. But we had one cousin specifically that started making, We went up there. My grandma broke her hip. We put her in the hospital. This is in California, like up north. And we put her in the hospital. And then we go to her townhouse to get her clothes and stuff. So that's what we're doing.
Right.
But we're also making sure the stove is off, the water is turned off. Right. We got to make some of this because she might not be coming home.
Right. No time soon.
No time soon. One of my cousins is going like, oh, that's great grandma's china. And she like puts it in a little pile. And me and my other cousin are going, are you noticing this shit? That she was doing a little like, so this is mine.
This is mine. Preparing for the stuff when they die.
Yes.
You understand?
And we're going like.
And fight over lawnmower.
Yeah. And me and my cousin Lisa are going like, well, we're just here to grab our other stuff. And our other cousin's going like, huh, these plates. And just keeps returning to the same pile.
Got a little pile.
Yeah. We didn't want. And when she died, we didn't want to tell her.
And then, no, and this the thing about it. Grandma would have wanted me to have this.
Yes.
She told me I could have this.
Well, it was.
She when she was living, she said, these are mine.
Earthquake, you're saying exactly what she went.
Grandma wanted me to have this.
Yeah, the why wasn't in the will.
She told me this.
Because in the will it says it's all mine.
She, you know, grandmama don't like the right nothing. She didn't want to get in the
you
she
almost told are hitting. I'm not joking when I say this. You're almost beat for beat. Hitting the excuse.
Of course.
Where you go, well, that's not true.
And they go to every relative.
Yeah. And then the best part is?
And they always get them when they're in hospice care.
That's it. That's it was exactly in the hospice.
Yep.
Where they go, we're just going to come by and get the plates.
Get the plates.
So then what happened was we kind of got hip to it and we're like, all right. And then we went all down to see my grandma at the hospital. And then as shit progressed, I called my other cousin that I was talking to. Mm-hmm. I went, we're not letting her know when she dies.
No.
And we're going to go up there.
You got to go get it before the birth certificate, I mean, the death certificate is signed. Because she's going to be over there taking it on.
Waiting.
And we got one family member got everybody's stuff when they die.
And we got in there. We got our stuff. We got the U-Haul filled.
Right.
Then I hit her with the text. Nana passed away.
Yeah.
And she was like, just I got to come up. I got to come up. I got to come up. And I go, you know what?
Crying on the way.
I was like, dude, I have so many missed calls from her. Because she was like, where are you guys? When are you guys going up there? And we're like, where
can
are
I
you
get the
up?
Key? I go in there myself.
That's exactly
you it. You understand? Let me just, y'all, I know y'all don't want to go in there.
You guys are going through a tough
y'all
time.
Y'all going through a tough time.
Let me go
just give me the key and I'll go in there.
And I'm telling you right now, we got in there, got the stuff, got out. Like a heist.
Yeah.
And then we called her. We're like, it's done. I felt like Ocean's 11. I was like, it's done.
The
it's
key over. Part about it is that and you get it and then let them come over your house and they see it. Then they try to steal it. You understand?
Dude, if she tries to take that gravy boat from my cousin Lisa that we had, is going to be the funniest thing of her going like, so this looks familiar.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it was, man, going through a house like that, there is this like weird thing of you're sad, but then you're also like, do I have room for that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly.
That moment where practicality breaks into emotional response where you go, I could fit that in my living room.
Thank you. I know I'm in a one bedroom, but that pool table, I could fit it somewhere in.
Tape measure out and you go, yeah, it is wide enough. Tight shots.
Get rid of the dining room table.
You go, was it three pieces of slate? Might be heavy going up my walk up, but I got this.
Got it.
Yeah. That is the one thing that no one ever told me about with family dying. Is like it almost becomes a flea market.
Yes.
Instantly. Yes. Instantly. Yeah, that's the thing. With your kids, how many kids do you have?
I have three.
You have three?
Yeah.
Do you think which one of your kids is going to angle for your stuff? Do you? Because you know them best.
All of them.
You think
so? See, I got a wife now.
Okay, there you go.
So that trumps the kids.
The wife,
I just got married about a month ago.
Oh, really? Congratulations.
Yeah, well, thank you. So I have a wife. And
she goes, that's my stuff.
They're not even going to get inside. You know what I mean? They exist.
Do they? They're all grown up, right?
Yes.
When you get married, when your kids are all grown up, is there like, what is the, because I was raised by a single mom, so I remember the introduction process when I was little versus when I'm grown.
Right.
When I'm grown up, there's this little of like, it's more like, this is so-and-so, this is so. When you're a kid, you do like the, I want you to meet somebody.
Right, because you're looking for the approval of a kid. The older they get, like, listen, you fucking up on your dating. Allow me to fuck up on mine.
Yeah.
And hopefully we both get it together. And you just said, man, once you get to a certain age as a kid, to me in my humble opinion as a parent, how you feel about who I date has no concern on me.
Because you're out of the house.
You're out of the house.
We already did this.
You understand?
Yeah, our time in our band is over. Yeah, you're not on the album anymore.
And I'm not recruiting you a new mother. You got your mama.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so have a good time. And
did they get along in a way that...
Yeah, they get along, but I don't expose to them too much anyway. You know what I mean?
Smart.
You know, I don't expose them at that point. Because your kids will fuck your relationship up. They will.
Just like talk shit?
No, just they territorial.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're possessive of you.
Exactly.
And if someone's coming to take that away.
Yeah, and they feel there's not enough of you to spread.
Sure.
And if you get a strong woman, which is your woman.
Yeah.
They be like, listen here, motherfucker. This is mine now.
Does that ever get... I guess my question is, does that ever get confused as like possessive in a way where they get combative, where they get like, she's not right for you? Like they don't
Definitely they're going to sabotage it.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
At that point, the opinion don't matter.
Yeah.
Because they...
That's got to be a great thing to say to your kid after a certain age.
Well, you don't even...
You just live it.
You just live it and let them catch you. You don't even introduce them. They catch you at Rouse or Whole Foods.
This is with the lady?
Oh, this is my wife. The fuck?
You know, you got fucking married.
You got fucking married.
You should have been there. The ceremony was beautiful.
Oh.
Cabo San Lucas. You like mahi mahi. We had mahi mahi.
Sea bass was perfect.
That's like the...
I was wondering where you was at.
I remember when I was very little one time, I fell asleep on the couch where I was staying with my dad, and him and my grandma had dinner while I was asleep.
Right.
And the feeling of betrayal that I had when I woke up was like, you just ate a full meal and I was just sleeping here. And they were like, well, you were asleep. We didn't want to wake you up, which is a rational answer.
True.
But I do feel like I still felt betrayed.
Well, no, me, where's my plate?
Yeah, yeah. I should have just woke up and been like,
"Where my plate?"
Where I think I was little enough that I was like still in shock that they would do that.
Well, I understand.
But that's the feeling of if they don't meet your girlfriend until they see you at Ralph's, and then they're like,
"But I don't want to give them the false sense that their opinion matter."
Sure,
you understand?
Very
what I'm saying?
Smart.
You
very
understand?
Smart.
So if I don't introduce you,
yeah,
then that
there's
already
a reason.
It's letting you know.
Yeah,
live your life. Like your daddy's living.
I'm going to introduce her when I need you to meet her.
Well, when you catch us.
Yeah.
You understand?
So funny.
At Whole Foods.
Does she have kids?
No.
Okay. So that's because I always wonder with grown adults, the introduction of grown adults to grown adults.
What
a kind of like you have a stepbrother now, but is that really a stepbrother? It's just a guy that my dad married your mom.
Well, the dynamics is different when you're the male.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
True.
She has a kid. She has to make sure she's a mother.
It's a protective thing.
A protective thing.
That was that's the exact way my mom was.
You know what I'm saying?
Where she was kind of like, he's going to meet you. Especially when I got bigger and I like grew up.
Right.
It was more of like, well, this is a security check.
Right.
Like, I'm coming through just to make sure that
you're
not.
The custodian parent. I was never the custodian parent.
Yeah.
I was always the financier for the, you know, the ADU.
Yeah, but that's fun as hell, though.
You know what I mean?
Because then you're coming through off the road being like, what do you guys need?
Yeah.
Financier's back.
Financier's in. And you're the
Santa
Claus.
You go, we got the financier coming through if you guys have a pitch for new shoes or anything you want to get.
And you had to do none of the discipline because you only get to see him for that weekend.
Yeah, that's...
You don't want to spike the person, your kid, if you only got him for that Friday and Saturday.
You know, I do regret my dad never actually doing parenting, but the older I get, the more I understand that he was like, I'm just here to be fun.
Yeah.
I just go out to the Bay Area and he'd be like, we'll go to a Giants game. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
And you're like, because it did rule.
Because, to be honest with you, from a man's point of view is... It's safety for yourself because 9 out of 10 you might be dealing with a woman that be holding your kid as a hostage.
Yeah,
and then the package deal aspect of it.
Yeah.
So you know.
I mean, they were very honest with it, that being the case because my dad wasn't paying child support at all. My mom was like, "Well, then you're my bargaining chip."
Exactly.
I was the bargaining chip.
Exactly.
Where she goes, well, then why am I letting you go see them if I'm not getting my money?
Exactly.
And then I'm in the middle like, well, this sucks. I want to go to a Giants game.
Yeah, and if you want to take them to a Giants game, I need that 400. is negotiating with a terrorist.
Dude, it really is so funny where they're like, if you ever want to see your son again, pay me my child support.
Child support.
Or he's never going to go to a 49ers game with you ever again.
Never. And I'm going to let him know exactly how I fucked
up. I'm going to turn him into a Broncos fan if you don't let him.
Ooh. Yeah.
Dude, that was the being in Denver as a 49ers fan, just trying, because my mom was raising me in Denver, but my dad was in the Bay Area.
Right.
And I was always trying to go out to Niner games. And that really was the thing where it was like, what if I pay the child support? You know? I'm like, I got a summer job.
Yes.
What if I save up and I pay his part so I can get out there and catch a game?
Right. And And what'd she say?
No. She's like, I believe the answer was, I'm going to garnish his wages.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, if I find out where he works.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to fuck that up. Before the internet, there had to be, like, private investigators.
Yes.
She had to, like, call around.
Yeah.
She couldn't Google where my dad was working.
No.
She was calling random bars and seeing if he was bartending.
Right.
You got a Gary there?
You got a Gary there?
You got a Gary Soder?
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, well, guess what? I need to fill out some of his paperwork. I'm his ex-wife.
And don't tell me you're only making $2 and $13 an hour. Put them tips on that goddamn financial.
I'm going to come down there. I need you to pour the tip jar out, and we're going to go through it together.
My mother said, bless his heart, she said to get her child support, she would dress all of us up in the raggliest clothes and take us down there to his job at lunchtime and say, go say something to your daddy.
That is.
Yeah, daddy. And we in there look like Huckleberry Finn.
That is.
You understand what I'm saying? With the pants cut off.
That
and the
is.
Thing off of it. And the
thing CIA off, would pick up something like
you
that.
You understand? And the raggly shoes with the hole in. She'll put all of, she'll go to the thrift store and buy all the stuff cheap and dirty it up.
Buy it too small?
Yeah, take it down too small and everything. And take us down there and wait till everybody's in the break area or lunch and run them in there. And they said, Reggie, is those your kids?
Yeah. And you know he just wanted a relaxing lunch.
He in there shopping in the tack. I mean, he shopped. He got everything on. And she
so funny.
And the next day, she got all her money.
Yeah, because he's going let's not do that again.
Let's not do that again.
I remember one time visiting my dad, and it was like bringing up child support was a cock block of going like, well, mom says you don't pay child. And he's like trying to fuck another lady. He's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This isn't how we're doing it. What are you doing?
Not
you're here right now. Why don't we keep this between us
right.
when we talk?
And you're going to believe your mother?
Yeah, dude. That was real big in my house.
I gave her money 2 years ago.
That was real big in my house. Are you going to listen to her?
You're going to listen to her?
Or my mom would go, you know your dad's a liar.
Now that I'm a grown man. And a father, I always say I at least should have heard his side of the story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you took your mother's side like it was the gospel.
Yeah. You know what? That was the thing. My dad died before I could get his side of the story.
Yes.
Because I was 14, so we weren't at that age where I was talking to him differently. I was still a kid in his eyes when he died.
But see, you come to the realization as you mature and you become a man that two things could be true.
Absolutely.
Your mother's a good mother, but she also could be a fucked up girlfriend.
I could also, that's so fucking perfect. Because you grow up in a, listen, my mom's the best. I love her to death.
Yeah.
And I believe her.
Mother.
I believe her perspective.
Right.
But I also can think that his perspective had some truths in it.
But see, if you get honestly, if you really be objective and look at your mother, not through the son's eyes.
But just as a lady.
Just as a man. As being out here experiencing women and don't look at with your mommy eyes.
Yeah.
You look back and say, my mama is a scoundrel.
My mother
been shaking down motherfuckers for that. My mother's the type of motherfucker go in there and say she's pregnant, give me the money for the abortion and
you
go to the club.
Is
I'm just not saying mine's perfect, but if you sit back and you just start looking at the characteristics
that go with it, behavior.
You like, she was a loving mama. But I wouldn't date her ass. I wouldn't date that scat. If I did, I'd put all my money and leave it in the car while we sleep together.
There was a moment before my stepdad and my mom broke up where my stepdad and I both had that moment of being like, I could see she's running you down.
Yeah.
And he was like, she is.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you give him that like, That's it.
And you look him in the face, say, leave.
Yeah, just get out of here. We're good.
Get out of here.
We're good. Take your tools.
Listen, I'm full. We can pick this back up when I'm 18.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Let's be friends when I'm older. You seem like a good guy.
I'm not going to hold it against you, Daddy.
Just get out of here.
Got caught in the trick bag. You know what I mean?
Just pack it up, man.
Pack it up.
Get out of here.
She's never going to appreciate
you. Yeah. I'll tell her, I don't know, that you disappeared.
I tell her.
I'll cover.
I tell her, look, I put myself up for adoption.
Yeah, you really don't look at your parents until you get older. I think that's a big thing with a lot of people is they keep the perspective of their parents from when they were kids.
Right.
And then they never let it evolve, so you see your parent for who they really are.
Well, it's especially in my community, you can't tell nobody about their mama.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Their mama could sit around here and shoot everybody. In a synagogue, and they're still like, what did they do to my mom?
It's so funny because it is polar opposite with white people would be like, mom!
Yeah.
Stop! Yeah. And you're like, well, you can't do that shit.
Nah, black people be sitting there, well, that's my mom. Yeah. They must have did something to her.
I bet my mom was a bitch. Yeah. Just white people giving the absolute opposite energy.
Y'all role models for us. The way y'all have the reaction and the candor and the openness.
Or calling your mom by the first name.
Yes.
Hey, Trish. And she'd be like, Trish. Excuse me. What's funny is she did check me on that. One time I called her and she was like, what is this? She goes, if you're referring to me to someone else, you can call me that.
Right.
But I'm mom.
Always. And let's not get this mistake.
And she said it very sternly once. Then I was like, hey, that's a good rule.
We ain't got it.
And I'm never breaking that rule. No, I'm like, hey, mom, I'm never going to be like, hey, Trish. You know what I mean? It's funny to say her name in jokes and stuff.
Right.
But to her, I'm always calling her mom. Right. Never like, hey, late. I had a friend that called his parents by both their first names, and I thought that was the weirdest shit in the world.
Yeah, and I don't even know how you get into that.
What moment do you break into that?
When does she say, look, fuck it, don't call me moms.
I'm Linda.
And we're going to the club tonight.
Yeah, that's Ron. I'm Linda. We're going to go get fucked up. You just hang out here.
Yeah. Where do you get that?
I think that's either, you know what's interesting? That's either a very rich white thing or a very poor white thing.
Mm.
Like trailer trash will do it.
Right.
Because the parents do the, I'm not your parent, I'm your buddy.
I'm your buddy.
We'll smoke cigarettes, we'll drink beers. And they go, I love Cindy. Right. Cindy, that's my mom. I love, or very rich kids where they're like, Diane. Dion is Richard home. That's what it is. Middle class kids, white kids will always call their mom. But you get the like very rich or very poor, and then they're going like, oh, where's Steven?
Yes.
I'm here to talk to Steven. And you're like, Dad?
Dad?
Yeah.
He's out on the golf course.
He'll be back. Don't worry.
Don't worry. Tell him to come to my chambers.
I'll be in the east wing.
Upon his return.
Tell him my polo match got rescheduled.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do it.
And also my trust fund money is a little short.
Yeah. Now, you've gotten decades on the road.
Yes.
Are you sick of it at all?
No. What is getting tiresome now? The mode of transportation.
Okay.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
I want a jet so I can just, not for
the simplicity.
Not for the status of it.
Yeah.
For the convenience of
the
travel.
That's exactly it. Just to show up somewhere. Man, when you go on the road with someone that has a private jet, I was opening for Shane Gillis. I did a couple gigs with him, and we were flying private arena to arena, and you go, the travel's nothing.
Yes.
Show up. When you want to leave, you land, you go right to the hotel. There's no deplaning. There's no baggage claim. There's no fuckery.
No. And in certain places, you don't want to stay there that night, but you can't. You got to stay because the first flight is in the morning.
Yeah. Like, man, I'm going to tell you right now, Tulsa, Oklahoma, I'm sorry, but that 6 a.m. will always be the flight I take.
I mean, first thing, smoke. I do that for every show.
Yeah, every show. People don't understand. People think. It's crazy. I'm always blown away when people in comedy are blown away by people that take the first flight out.
First flight.
There's never delays.
Never.
That plane is going to leave.
Yes.
Because it has to.
It has to.
Because there's a flight in the city that you're going home, and they need that plane
flight,
to go somewhere.
So it's gone. And it's the less delayed.
Yes.
And it has to go. And I have learned it keeps you out of trouble being on the first thing.
Because you don't stay out Saturday.
Saturday you can't stay, and you got to tell the hooker, I would. I would.
I snuggle on Fridays. I snuggle on Fridays.
Go.
And you're a working girl.
You're gonna find. They're gonna schedule. That's a new one coming in.
Yeah, you know? I've noticed that with taking the first flight out, the Saturday night, the last thing is the show.
Right.
You're eating earlier.
Right.
You're eating better.
Right.
And you go to your hotel, you're already packed up, and you're like, let me just get out of here.
And you want to get the hell out of there quick.
Yeah.
You know?
And what I like doing is, if I'm east of the Mississippi, I'm getting back to New York before noon.
Mm.
And then I have a whole day at home.
Right. But you do be dragging.
Ass.
Oh.
That's why NFL season is the best.
Yes.
Because you go, all right, when is my team playing? Like Niners would be the 4 p.m. game. And I'll go, great. I'm going to put the 1 p.m. games on.
True.
And I'm going to fall in and out of sleep.
In that game.
And then my adrenaline will carry me through the 49er game.
To the showtime.
And then 8 p.m. show, you go, all right, great.
Okay, I'm ready.
We're great.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, because you go, I got something I'm still entertained.
Right.
I mean, I'm lucky with my fiance now that she understands the road schedule, where I've dated women where you come back on a Sunday and they go, I have a whole day planned.
Oh,
we're going to go to the farmer's market and get dinner.
Yeah.
And then now with my fiance, she's like, you good? You want to sleep? I walk the dog. What do you need? You need a meal or anything? And you're like, I'm just going to hang out.
Every woman I've ever dated, I let them know after I come off the road, I need 24 hours to decompress.
Thank you.
All
my ex-girlfriends that are hate watching my podcast, listen to Earthquake.
I don't want to talk. Listen, I've just been talking to 4,000 people. I don't want to see no people. I just want to sit in front of my couch, on my couch, lay on my couch, in my house. Find me something that allow my mind just to rest.
I'm not going to be worth shit till Monday morning.
Monday morning. If I'm not going to be worth shit until Tuesday morning. If I did a show Sunday,
yeah,
and I came back on Monday.
I stopped doing the Sunday show is coming
it's
back.
Brutal.
Coming back on a Monday.
Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of is when I would be out drinking in New York so late that people would be going to work.
Yes.
That was, like, I remember one time I drank with the wait staff from Caroline's on a Sunday show till like 5 in the morning.
Yes.
And then I walked this girl home, and then I took the train back, and I'm on the 4 train, and people are just in suits going to work, and I'm standing there like,
you standing there just, I'm trying to get in my bed.
That is it.
You going to work.
Yeah.
I just got off work.
I remember that day so specifically because that was when they put out that 30 for 30 June 17th, 1994, about the O.J. chase with the Rangers winning the cup. They did that like beautiful documentary where it jumped from thing to thing. And I remember being excited that came out. So I came home and watched that immediately till like 8 in the morning. And I was like, what am I doing? I'm a piece of shit. I got to go to bed.
Well, you had interest.
Yeah,
you
know, that's what it was. You're just like,
interest.
I got to do. So for you, the road is you want the convenience more. You're wore down on the whole airport.
Well, I mean, I like traveling. I just want more effective traveling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's no reason for me being in Tulsa, Oklahoma after the show.
Why?
I mean, how much it costs for you to fly me back home? You know what I mean? Today.
Yeah.
You
know right now.
Mean? After I say good night, I want to say good night.
Say good night.
To your whole city.
Then,
you understand?
Then goodbye.
Bye.
Good night, goodbye.
Goodbye. Bags already on the plane.
Man, there is something that always is funny to me about Saturday late crowds. If they are tough in any way, I always remind them that my suitcase is packed. And in a lot of cases, the check is in my pocket.
Yeah.
So this doesn't have to go well.
At all.
I want it to.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to.
The mere fact that I am talking to you mean I got my money.
Yeah, that means that check
somewhere.
Have you ever had a city on the road that you just don't want to go back to do comedy?
No, because my mentality of the check right, quake there every night.
Yeah.
You know, I love the business, and I think you should always. I'm not a Christopher Columbus type guy. I don't go all out in the city that I'm in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you go in, do your job.
Do my job, and I'm gone. So did that
start at a certain age, like after a while of touring? Because I think
once I stopped getting high.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Once when I was high, you go to the club, the rock and roll, drug, sex, roll, rock and roll.
You know what's funny is that's how I was with drinking. When I was drinking, I quit drinking about 13 years ago. When you quit drinking, when you drink and you go to a city, everybody wants you to show you that city.
Yes.
Because when you, they go, no, I don't care if you were in Tulsa last night. Tonight you're in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And we're going to show you what we do in Buffalo.
Right.
So for them, it's this big event where they're going out. But for you, it might be the third night in a row that people are showing you. And you're like.
Because you got different friends. And then you drink with one. And they give you always this sad ass story. Man, I might not see you again.
That's it.
We got to celebrate. I ain't seen you in 5 years.
Yeah.
Come drink with your boy.
You had a great show.
We had a good show. We come knee high up.
Yeah.
Brothers and stuff. You ain't drinking with your boy. All right, one drink. And then that one tastes good, and you start talking, here come the second.
I jumped the gun early in my career headlining. I was in Washington doing shows. I was outside of Seattle doing shows. This is like Facebook is pretty new. And I see this guy that I used to, real little, knee high, guy I haven't seen since 6th or 7th grade, follows me on Facebook. I don't think much of it. Month later, I'm in Seattle, outside of Seattle, and I'm drinking. And I'm doing the thing where I'm drinking too heavy in between shows.
Right.
So the late show.
Gone.
I get through it, but I'm.
Plastered.
Then the staff is done. So the staff's like, no, now we want to go out. Because they're watching you.
Yeah.
So we go out.
More drinks.
And then the lights go out. And then cut to me waking up on a futon, dressed in, with my winter jacket on. And I'm like.
The fuck?
It's maybe like 8:30 in the morning, and I'm like, where the fuck? It's not my hotel room.
Yeah.
I go to smoke a cigarette, and you know those picture frames that are like long, and they have like 6 different pictures?
Right.
I'm looking at this picture, and I'm going,
who are these?
This motherfucker looks like Scott Thompson. I haven't seen him in 27 years. And just from behind me, I hear, hey, what's up, dude? And I look around, and I go, oh! Scott! And then it turns out he came out to the bar when I was blacked out, and he was like, dude, we talked till like 4 in the morning. And on my back patio, drinking whiskey, and I was like, oh, shit.
There it is.
And that was one of those moments where I was like, ah, probably
it's time to take a meet.
Yeah. You know? I might need to start going anonymous and meet with some people. That was the worst hangover I've ever had on the road.
Really?
I remember the football game I was throwing up to. It was Notre Dame Pittsburgh, and it was a overtime game. And I remember being in the bathroom of the shitty hotel, being like, "This is the worst day of my life."
Yeah.
And I had shows that night.
Yes.
Where you're like, "Oh God," to get it back up, because as you get older, you're like, "I don't want that ever again."
No.
If I'm on the road, I want consistency.
And then this, for me, even with everything, is. The reason for doing it no longer carries the weight for doing it.
Yeah.
So anyway, the hangover, the feeling, you
the anxiety, the depression.
And it was not that good deal with all those repercussions.
As a white guy, what am I giving, 4 woo-hoos?
Yeah,
four woo-hoos in a night, and then spend the whole next day hurt?
And then when you stop drinking in it, then you start looking around and say, find out, I was only hanging with you because we drink together.
That's a crazy
thing. I only go
drink.
To this bar, this place, or this bar because I drink. And then you be sitting there, and you in there like, oh, man, can y'all turn that music down?
Also is the worst part? The worst part that no one talks about is when you disappoint the staffs of the clubs when you go back and you're not partying anymore.
Yeah.
And they go back and they go, we've been talking about you.
We couldn't wait.
And you go, bad news.
Man, no, I don't
have I'm going to get a sensible meal and go to my hotel early. And
the fuck going? You sick?
Yeah, that's what it is. Where they're like,
last time you fucked a midget.
Yeah. They're like, last time we had to pull you out of an applesauce wrestling tournament. And this time you go, exactly. Is there anything like, I don't know, light that I could eat around here?
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Like, this fucking guy.
Yeah. Salad. Put some avocado in there.
But it is, beets. I mean, you are one of the guys, man, that you are like a guy that we all look up to. And it is nice to know that you still have the love of comedy. And the touring of it, and I think that's what makes you still relevant and still good at it, is that you still love it.
Well, it's who I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I I love the crowd. I love where I'm at him now. Okay, the process of it, you know.
Yeah.
I dropped the special. It comes out on the 30th.
Okay.
So now.
What's it coming out on?
Netflix.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix.
Netflix.
Earthquake special. Yeah. The 30th of September?
Yes.
Okay.
It's called Joke Telling Business.
There you go. What a plug.
Joke telling business.
I'm fucking pumped that you have a special coming out.
Yes, it's coming out.
Because honestly, when they were like, Earthquake's available, I was like, no fucking way. When I was in LA and I gave them, like, they were like, here's your weekend book. And they go, we have Earthquake. And I was like, there's no way Earthquake can do my podcast. And they're like, Earthquake will do your podcast. And then to find out that you have a special.
Yes.
I'm very happy.
It's coming out on the 30th.
All right.
And so I'm at the process.
Where'd you film it at?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
Birthplace of my comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm from D.C. But, you know, you had this process and now they're building it back all up again.
And
you
that's what I mean? Yeah, it gets. That's
a beautiful thing.
I think when early on, especially, I mean, I'm speaking for myself, but early on, it was terrifying.
You
release an hour and you go, what the? How the fuck am I going to do that again?
But now, as you get older in the game, it's the process of it.
Yeah.
It's to me, boxing metaphor. I'm in training camp.
I love it.
I'm sparring, doing road work, and I haven't signed another fight, AKA, which is another special for it. So I'm just training.
And also, you get to do this fun thing where, you know, I feel like as you work an hour, you get tight till it's like a train tracks.
Right.
Where you go, I have the train, it's on the tracks, you want to watch me run it?
Right.
There it is.
Yeah.
My favorite part is when you're just in a field. After you put out a special, you can just run whatever direction you want to go.
Yeah.
Oh, you can not pick run at all. Or not at all.
And just sit right there.
Hey, do
not, what y'all want to talk about.
Exactly.
And that's the beautiful part about it.
But there
it,
is, you're right, there is this like cyclical thing where you learn the next time you go, enjoy this part of just sitting in the field. And then I'm at the part right now where I have the hour.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to tape it after this tour, but I have it where all the work is done.
Right.
So now it's just the fun part.
So now
I can just fuck with it and make it better.
After you get rid of that hour,
yeah,
and you sell it,
yeah,
in one at a time, do you allow yourself the grace to say, "All right, I'm working this"? Because see, every comedian feel every time they see you, you post a slam.
Yeah, there is. You know what there is? That's the thing that I'm working with. I'm in my 40s now, and I would tell you in my 20s, I would keep jokes just to kill,
right?
Just because I want that impression. But I feel now in my 40s. That I actually kill harder when I'm not trying to.
True.
When I just go like, this is, if I'm entertaining myself,
right,
it's better than when I was in my 20s trying to entertain all the guys in the back of the room and go like, look at me.
Well, you certified, you made it, you done it. There's nothing else
I think that's
say.
What it is. It's the confidence of like, it's like almost like being like a restaurant. I assume when you're a restaurant and you're new, you're trying to make good dishes all the
time. Exactly.
But then when you get that rating and the neighborhood knows you and the people, you become the favorite restaurant.
Here's the food.
You go, I'm trying something new.
Yeah.
We're going to do this. Something.
You want to try this?
We got special.
I got this right here. And try that.
Exactly.
You don't like it?
Yeah. But then they go, this is the best thing I've ever had.
There
and you
it
go,
is.
Great. We're on the
I'm
going
to put it on the menu.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it on the menu.
That's probably the way I think about it, where you go, oh, shit. Okay. Well, I never did a swordfish before.
Right.
But it looks like I know how to do swordfish now.
I'm going to put that on the menu.
And then when it's done, I'm not going to do the same dish again.
No.
So you move on to something else.
Yeah, and you continue on to just sample.
And you're at the ability now where you're like a chef where you can come in and do the, you know, when they do the bottom of the spoon, the handle part of the spoon, and then they do the taste, and they go, no, needs more. Like, you can do that.
Yeah.
And that's the point where I'm looking up to now.
Right.
Where you come in calmer. You don't have, like, I still have the chef energy of, like, I need that. Where's 26 minutes to go? Like, that frantic energy. I still have a little bit of that.
Step left the zucchini in the oven. Yeah. I said 10 minutes, damn it.
You're like, I need it. Fire it. But you're the chef that you come in, and the sous chefs have it all down, and you go, that's pretty good. We can work on that.
Yeah, we can work on
it. Yeah, let me get behind there. And then when you're on the line, people go, he's on the fucking line. He's cooking it up.
Yeah.
That's the best part. Yeah, that's why I love living in New York. Is because the Comedy Cellar, you see chefs working the line. You see guys going down, going like, you see Attell, you see Rock, you see Louie.
Right.
You see him coming in the, or even Kevin Hart when he comes in, you see him going like, let me get on the line. Let me try to cook this.
Right.
They're not doing the like, welcome to my big fancy establishment.
Right.
They're like, no, I'm down there. I'm cooking.
Right.
And that's what I love to watch.
Yeah. I mean, because everybody had a process.
Yeah.
And I will always do comedy clubs because that's where the creation is made. It's the kitchen.
It's just perfectly built.
It's the kitchen.
It's just the way they design it. Everything's built. You can go in, you can build it, and then you take it to the, you know, when you go to the theater, that's like you opening your own restaurant.
True.
Where you go, oh, look at all the bells and whistles. This is fucking neat. But you're right. You want the comedy club to go like, come in, sit down. What about this? What about this? What right. about this? And right. it is fun. It is a fun. Very, because I think growing up, I always was envious of bands for having the ability to go to a recording studio, right? And then they write something, and then they go in the room, and then they plug in, and they go, that's pretty good. We have to wait for a whole new crowd to sit down, get their drinks, then we try it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
We don't have that thing where you can just go like, try that again. Do that again and do it like this.
Right.
You have to wait for a whole other show.
True.
Do it again, do it like this. Right. But the comedy clubs is the closest we get.
It's the closest you get, and for me, the intimacy of it gives me the best place to create.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't create in no theater.
No.
Or no arena.
I mean, arena shit is wild.
Yeah.
And I've only been doing, opened only a couple times in arenas, and you see that shit, and that whole feeling is like just a Morpheus blob. laughing at you, and you're like, this is crazy. Yeah. I'm like looking up at jerseys that are retired while I'm telling jokes, and you're like, this is fucking strange.
Right.
A comedy club, you're like looking at them.
Right.
And even in a smaller theater, you're like,
yeah.
What I like about theaters, and I'm on my first theater tour, so I've never even done it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
No. It's you need to be applauded for that.
Thanks.
Because that's no small feat. People don't understand. It's you in the theater. See how we talk. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah. And you're going like, come on by. But
come on.
But you know what's interesting about it is the different growing pains. It's a little hard. You got to work harder to sell tickets.
Yes, you do.
You got to work. But then what's great is the act is locked. So you just go, oh, well, the energy isn't like a comedy club where you're putting all the energy into the act and what the jokes are. Now you go, well, I got those.
Right.
Now I got to like, hey, come on in.
Come on.
We got a restaurant.
They're looking. The promoter said.
Dude, I've never been so scared of so many promoter emails being like, well, here's the numbers. And you're like,
you can always tell when the show is doing well when you don't hear from the promoter.
Dude, there's a couple cities that I haven't even heard peeps from. And I'm like,
there
great.
You go. You're good.
Great. You're like,
you understand?
I'm so glad Denver. I haven't heard anything from Denver. I'll see you there on October 4th. You know, and you're like,
when is your favorite market though?
I mean, for me, it's interesting because I have family in Denver. I grew up there and my friends are there. It's a great comedy town.
Did you start there?
No, I started in Tucson.
Okay.
Started in Tucson and that's fun to start. I'm going back there. I'm doing the Rialto Theater October 3rd. But then my favorite markets are the ones where I don't know anybody. Because I feel like I go in like Madison, Wisconsin, or like I love like Chicago. Mm. I love just going in and being like, hey, it's just us.
Right.
I'm here for you guys. You're here for, I don't have to worry about after the show, so-and-so is going to come back and say hello and do this. But I would say like probably Portland, Oregon and Chicago, Illinois are my two favorites. And Sacramento.
Sac is getting better. I used to go upside early. Haven't been to Sacramento in a while.
You know what Sacramento's got?
What?
The Bay Area got priced out, so it's got all the regular people from the Bay that couldn't afford
to live.
Because East Bay, you can't even afford that anymore.
No.
So now they go up to 5, and they're right in Sacramento.
Right.
And I like what I like about it is they're close enough to a big city to have big city sensibilities, but they're farther enough away to have like a little like. You can get nasty. You can get a little nasty.
And the prices are not what it is.
Exactly.
Down there.
And they come out.
And they come out and it's not struggling off. So I'm looking.
But I do love. Go back to Sac.
I'm going to go.
Give Sacramento another chance. Come on. They can't.
Well, you know, as soon as they send off.
The special is out September 30th.
Yes, it is.
On Netflix. The Joke Business.
Joke Telling Business.
The Joke Telling Business.
Yes.
I mean, it's Earthquake. Watch it. It's going to be fucking great. Yes. I can't thank you enough for coming on, man.
Well, thank you for having me, man.
I've been a fan. Like I said, I was obsessed with the Comedy Central Presents. Everything you watched, it was just, you were always a guy that if you came on the TV or I saw a set, I'd be like, I'm going to watch this and learn. But you're the man. And I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you, man.